You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. Happy Mother's Day to everyone, especially all the moms listening to the show. I'm sure there's a few of you out there. Every day should be Mother's Day. You are the real MVP. And what better way to celebrate today's special day with the first of a two-game set against the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, and the Celtics competing to avoid the play-in tournament and improve their standings in the Eastern Conference. And Miami started off with an incredible first half, scoring 79 points. They shot 65% overall, 55% from three-point range. They were paced by Trevor Ariza, who continues to impress for the Heat. He looked smooth. He looked fluid. He wasn't shooting as well from the perimeter. It seemed like the corner three that had been such a part of his arsenal earlier on in his Heat tenure seems to have abandoned him somewhat of late. But it didn't matter because he was finding mismatches. Boston kept sending Kemba Walker at him to defend him. And Ariza, although he's older, still has plenty of skill. He was able to use his strength and size to get past Walker, get past initial defenders. He was finishing at the rim at a very good level. And he finished with 17 points in the first half. Tyler Herro also contributed after having a big game against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday. Tyler continued his hot shooting, looking incredibly good. He was just on fire from the perimeter. He finished with 12 points. Unfortunately, he finished with 12 points. It wasn't just in the first half. It was all in the game, only 12 points. So he was not the kind of factor in the second half that he was earlier in the first half. But it was enough for Miami because they built an incredible cushion. 26-point lead. And that wasn't enough. I think Heat Nation collectively holding their breath, knowing that a 26-point lead wasn't going to be enough to put out the Celtics. And look, give credit to Boston. They're a team known for being able to come back. They've got some hot shooters on there. They were without Jaylen Brown, but they still have their rookie Aaron Nesmith. They also have Jason Tatum, of course. He's a very good player. If you hadn't known that already, Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, legendary Heat killer. Do not Google his name, but trust me, he's a very good player, and he was the difference in the second half for Boston, that's for sure. Fournier had 14 points in the third quarter to help spearhead a Boston comeback. He had a game-high 30 points, actually, for the Celtics, but he also, just wound up being the kind of difference maker that changed the pace of the game completely. Miami seemed like they were just running roughshod in the first half, and then Fournier all of a sudden just caught fire in the second half. Again, a very dominating performance from him, not just in the third quarter to help, again, lead that comeback, but also in the fourth quarter when Miami was clawing for every basket and looking to make a difference. But the difference for Miami, Jimmy Butler, just as it has been for the past year and a half. He scored 11 of his own points in the third quarter after scoring just 4 in the first half. It was perfect Jimmy Butler in a nutshell, taking a more passive approach in the sense that he was just distributing the ball to everybody, playing exceptional defense, wasn't getting to the free throw line, didn't have to. You've got Ariza and Duncan Robinson and Tyler scoring at the levels that they were. You don't necessarily need to be so aggressive. And Jimmy was perfectly, he's played the game perfectly. Just reading the situation as well as he has. I cannot say enough how important it is to have a superstar of Jimmy's magnitude that can afford to just take a step back, analyze the game and say, okay, now's when you need me. Okay, I'll be on there for you. He finished the game with 26 points. He was absolutely the difference maker. He was also the team's closer alongside Bam Adebayo. Jimmy scored 11 more in the fourth quarter, and Bam added 9 of his own. The rest of the team only scored 5 total points in the final period, but it was enough. A great overall win for the Miami Heat. They improved to 37-31, 6 games over 500, and they stay in 6th in the Eastern Conference standings. They're now tied with the Atlanta Hawks. The New York Knicks currently playing the Los Angeles Clippers. That is an important game for the Heat, obviously. If the Knicks continue to lose while they're on this West Coast road trip, Miami will find a way of climbing either to the 4th or 5th seed. That would be a much more advantageous matchup for them rather than having to take on either Philadelphia or Brooklyn or certainly the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. So we have to continue to monitor that game. There's only 4 games left in the Heat season. I can't believe 72 games. It seems like it's just been such a blur. Back in December, we were just looking at the 72 games compressed schedule and wondering how Miami was going to be able to adjust. So much has happened over the course of the season, and we're down to the wire. And what a perfect game it was for Miami, showing, again, the kind of metal that they need to in order to take on these sort of challenges. It might not be the perfect game. You want them to be able to continue to build on that 26-point blowout and have a nice, comfortable lead, but you have to give credit to Boston as well. And it doesn't really matter because you've got Jimmy Butler there. And that, again, is the huge difference for Miami. That's all you need. With Jimmy playing as well as he did, like, it started off slowly. In the third quarter, you could see that Fournier was starting to catch fire. You started getting some nice shots from Marcus Smart. You got a couple of players going off there for the Celtics. And then Jimmy does what he does. He slows the game down, gets to the line. Then he starts looking to shoot a little bit more aggressively. Eventually, he wound up even shooting from the perimeter, something that he's not known for doing. But he did wind up going 1 of 3 from three-point range. That's good enough for him. 33%, that's great. I mean, he was looking to take the shot. He was just throwing the defense off balance, doing everything possibly could, finishing with 26 points in the 9, 9 of 14 overall, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Also, nearly a triple-double, 11 assists, 8 rebounds to go along with 2 steals, just 3 turnovers. Fantastic overall game from him. It doesn't feel... Well, I'll talk about this in this next segment because I feel like this is a dangerous game, but one that has proven to be so successful for Miami, not just this season, but before that, last year as well. But when you have Jimmy, you can just continue to rely on him. It's exactly what you want to be able to do, is to have everybody else step up and then have your superstars, Bam, and to a lesser degree, and then Jimmy, most importantly, step up when they're needed. This is the difference making, of talent of guys like Butler and Adebayo, something that has not been consistently seen from Miami all this year, because you haven't seen guys like Ariza or Robinson or even Tyler in his first half step up consistently enough. Look, you didn't have great performances all around. Dwayne Dedmon was solid, 6 points in 15 minutes, but he also picked up some fouls early on and didn't seem quite as, well, I won't say dominant, but he just wasn't having the same kind of impact that he's been making for Miami recently. But Goran Dragic, who has been in an uptick lately, he was only 9 points in 29 minutes, finished shooting just 30% for three-point range. Luckily, all three of his made field goals were from three-point range, so that was the kind of hot shooting. Those points were absolutely crucial for Miami, not just to build that comfortable lead early on, but later on in the game as well, when Miami started kind of letting their lead slip away. You could look negatively at this game and say, oh, Miami blew it. They had a 26-point lead. Why'd they allow Boston to get into? I just, Boston is a very good team. We can't disregard them. As much as you might like to and say, oh, the Celtics suck, or, they're without Brown and things of that sort, Fournier is a pretty solid player. We've known that from his history with the Orlando Magic. He can catch fire on occasion, and he certainly did today. I mean, Miami, with their penchant for giving up the three-point shot, for allowing teams to kind of catch fire late in the game, it was a perfect recipe for Boston to find a way to come back, and something that they do particularly well as well. This is one of their strengths. And so they were able to shoot, 37% from three-point range after missing a lot of their open looks in the first half. And that was something that was a concern, because they were getting those looks in the first half. They just weren't able to knock them down. Miami was using their switches perfectly, timing things so perfectly in order to initiate fast break offense for them after they forced a turnover. Their timing was impeccable. They just seemed like they were a step ahead of what Boston was able to do in the first half, and eventually wound up catching up to them. You have to give credit to both teams because they were able to do everything that they wanted to do early on, and then both teams found a way to adjust. For Boston, they found a way to get their open looks, and they started swinging the ball a little bit more. There was a little bit more activity along the perimeter. They started kicking it out to Boston shooters like Nesmith, like Tatum, like Fournier, and Miami had to find a way to adjust. And it's certainly a lot easier to do that when you have a superstar like Jimmy Butler to make things easier for you. So I don't necessarily know if it's the kind of style of play that you want to rely on too much, but it was worked so well for Miami all the way through their deep finals run last year that it instills a sense of confidence that Miami can duplicate that kind of success this season as well. Maybe once they run into a more talented team, and look, you have to acknowledge at least that they were missing one of their top players, a burgeoning superstar in Jaylen Brown. But at the same time, they were able to have an incredible performance from Fournier that wound up getting overlooked and not necessarily being the kind of factor that it should have been, because with any other night where Fournier scores 30 points for your team, there's a good chance that you're finding a way to victory. but it didn't turn out that way for the Celtics, but it did for Miami. They wound up stealing the victory. Now there's a matchup between the two on Tuesday, so we'll see whether or not Miami's able to steal that series and provide an even deeper cushion for them as they move forward in this playoff chase. An exciting time for Heat fans. Again, I'll talk a little bit about this style of play, whether or not it may or may not be sustainable. You're listening to Locked On Heat. And let me tell you, if you're looking to hire somebody for your company, if you are the hiring expert for whatever firm or company you work for, what you need is a partner to make things easier for you. You need Indeed.com. It is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. You post, screen, and interview all in Indeed. You get a quality shortlist of candidates. Their resumes have to match exactly what you're looking for in your job description. You only pay Indeed for the candidates that have those must-have qualifications, and then you schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. It makes connecting with and hiring the right talent faster and easier than ever. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, it gives you quality candidates whose resumes have to fit your job description, and it does it immediately. And then they have an incredible amount of skills tests that reduces hiring time by 27%. Look, you want to get to your job, you want to get this done. I've been there where I've had to hire people before. I use Indeed. It works so well for me. I got to choose from the quality candidates that I wanted, and then I brought them on board. Hired them right on the spot. It was such an instantaneous process. It's so easy to handle. You'll find that you can save a lot of time, save a lot of money, and get the person that you're looking for to fill that position. So if you go right now to Indeed.com, you'll get a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. The offer is valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions do apply. Not that I necessarily want to rain on any kind of parade or anything like that, but, you know, you look at what happened in the first half and then how Boston was able to come back and whether or not you're relying on Jimmy Butler a little bit too much. And you have to at least ask the question whether or not this style of play is sustainable. You know, you're kind of flirting with disaster a little bit, but you have the talent to do so. Like, Miami was able to get really good contributions from players that they might not normally do so. If you're never going to get a game where you're going to have everybody firing at all cylinders. It's just, I don't know what it is about this team. It's rarely going to happen. The fact that they scored almost 80 points in the first half, a phenomenal offensive output, and yet they were still kind of holding on for dear life towards the end of that game, kind of tells you a little bit about how this roster is comprised, right? You've got players that can step up on occasion. Just, you're not going to get a Trevor Ariza game and a Goran Dragic game on the same night. You're not going to get a Kendrick Nunn game and a Goran Dragic game on the same night. You know, Eric Spoelstra, to his credit also, recognizing that there were players that just weren't making contributions. Andre Iguodala, who was somewhat hindered by injury, but also of late has been making some questionable decisions with his passing, only played 12 minutes. Yeah, he had 4 points. Solid overall and did add 3 assists during that short time too, but it just didn't seem like he was going to be much of a factor. Eric Spoelstra said, "No, what? Get out of there. Sorry, Andre, as much as we love you and need you, you're not ready for us today." Dwayne Dedmon, similarly, you know, a guy who just wasn't able to play very well. He's been playing a lot for Miami and making key contributions, only with 15 minutes of play. Tyler, as good as he was offensively, he was just as bad defensively. There were back-to-back, I think one, maybe even 3 consecutive possessions where he wound up giving up points to Marcus Smart. And if you're scoring as much as you're giving up, then you're not exactly going to be the kind of factor that Eric Spoelstra needs you to be. And so there's all these things that you have to take into consideration. For Miami, they were able to get great output from Ariza, from Robinson, but they weren't able to get those same kind of level of play from guys like Goran, Tyler, Dwayne Dedmon, even Andre Iguodala, that they normally do. So it's kind of a little bit of a give and take, but Miami was able to kind of find that balance, and it certainly helps when you have Jimmy Butler available. Bam, similarly, in those minutes without Jimmy Butler on the floor, everybody was looking for Bam to be aggressive, to help save Miami as the lead was shrinking ever more and more. And, you know, they cut it down to, I want to say like 5 at one point. It was pretty close. After a 26-point lead, to see it slowly chipping away, and Hubie Brown, to his credit, called it perfectly. Like, at one point, Boston got it down to 19 and said, okay, now you're going to get it down to 15. And sure enough, they did. And once they started doing that, they kind of just started chipping away more and more. Miami just could not find their offensive pace whatsoever in the second half. It was incredible to see, again, after getting great performances from guys like Ariza and Hero in the first half, to see them be non-factors, completely reduced to inefficient players in the second half. They just weren't able to make the same kind of contribution. At least in Ariza's case, he's able to contribute something defensively. Tyler wasn't able to even bring that. So you don't have much else. You really, this is just the way this roster is built. It's a different roster if you have one Victor Oladipo out there. Like, you can go to him. You can expect him. You can't have him be the kind of guy who can play defense and contribute and make passes and plays for others. In Tyler's case, he's mostly going to be a scorer. In Kendrick's case, look, he only played 24 minutes. At least offensively, he was shooting somewhat efficiently, 5 of 11, but he just wasn't doing much else. And not necessarily a liability, in my opinion, but not quite the factor that Eric Spoelstra needed him to be. And so you're kind of looking at Jimmy Butler, and you're hoping that he can find a way to save your team, save your day, and he certainly does. And Bam also stepping up in key moments there. He hits a big shot from the mid-range, gets to the line a lot. He finished 10 of 11 from the stripe. That's huge for him. This is not typical of Bam Adebayo getting to the line as much as he has. And for him to shoot 10 of 11, I mean, how many centers can do that? Like, obviously, he's made incredible improvements at the free throw line. But to have that kind of output, 10 of 11 at the line, at a night when maybe he was a little bit hesitant to shoot the ball, I don't know if it was necessarily because of Boston's scheme. They don't have a lot of depth at the center position. They start the Time Lord, Robert Williams. He only wound up playing 11 minutes, so he wasn't much of a factor either. I think he was hurt, actually. So he wound up sitting out the second half because he was suffering from a turf toe, I think, in his left foot. If I recall correctly, that was the diagnosis from Boston Celtics that they made public. But something he's been dealing with for a while now. So he tried to go out there, wasn't really getting a lot of success, not having a lot of success against Bam Adebayo, clearly, when you're giving up almost 80 points. But overall, from Miami, they took the punches. Like, I made this point during the game, and I feel strongly this was very similar in style to what we saw from the team last year, not just in the Orlando bubble, but also earlier this season. Like, you're getting big games from X player, right? Your role players. They have to find a way to come up big. The problem has been either that they haven't come up big, or Jimmy and Bam have to do too much where they can't do enough to save a game for the Heat. That's been an issue. Or in some cases, maybe the role players will step up, but you've got either Jimmy or Bam not being a factor, or unavailable due to injury or health and safety protocols or something along those lines. And that happened throughout the course of this season. Last year, it was very different, where you maybe weren't expecting Duncan Robinson to go off. Maybe you weren't expecting Tyler Hero or Goran Dragic to have a big game off the bench. It was similar to that tonight. You know, Miami got great performances from their role players early on. And while those role players started to falter in the second half, you go to your superstar. You go to Jimmy. You work the system. You get it done right. I mean, 8 free throw attempts on his own, too. I mean, he was a little bit more aggressive with his scoring, 9-14 from the field. But he was able to just make these incredible contributions at just the right time to help stop the bleeding. And it's such a huge boost for a team like the Heat to be able to go to a superstar like Jimmy that can change the course of the game almost single-handedly. I talk about it a lot. He deserves the acknowledgement and the credit, because to have a guy like that, I don't think that Tatum is there. As good a scorer as Tatum is, as good as you can go to him to just maybe get your bucket for you, I don't know that he can change the game as completely as singularly as Jimmy Butler can. There's just something about Jimmy and his ability to say, no, I'm going to impose my will now. Now is when we start to do things the way I want them to. And it pans out more often than not. So credit to Jimmy, credit to the Heat for acknowledging it, credit for Miami's front office for bringing in a guy like Jimmy Butler and recognizing that even later on in his career, a career that a lot of people dismiss because he was a malcontent, because he's a locker room cancer, because he's never been a go-to superstar, etc., that they said, you know what, this guy's work ethic and style of play, I mean, his shooting has degraded since he left the Philadelphia 76ers, and somehow he's become an even better, more complete player than he was. That's amazing. You're lucky to watch him play, and he continues to be a difference maker for the Heat. I'll answer some of your listener questions in the next segment. But first, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. But there are tons of sports action with the start of the new WNBA season. I'm excited about that. The NBA playoffs, the NHL, and much more. Head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. And you can take some of those earnings and go spend them over at BuiltBar.com because you can build a box of your favorite flavors. They've got 9 incredible flavors, all of them covered in 100% chocolate. So many great different types of flavors, you know, a little citrus here, a little coconut, maybe coconut almond. You can mix and match all these incredible flavors and build your own box. And it's just great because they're, again, covered in 100% chocolate. So it kind of feels like you're eating a candy bar, but you're getting all the protein and nutrients that you might be looking for in a protein bar. Again, they're low calorie, low sugars. They got all the right mix of ingredients and nutrients that you might be looking for. So you get to indulge in a special treat for if you're a health conscious person, you're looking to lose a little bit of weight while still indulging in the treat, then Built Bar is for you. If you order today, you can build your own box. Like I said, maybe if you missed out on getting a box for your mom on Mother's Day, here's a good chance to get her a nice, again, a good healthy treat that tastes great and will help her feel good too. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your first order. Use your promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Just an update for you, even as I'm recording this, it looks like the New York Knicks are going to find a way to beat the LA Clippers. Those loser Clippers just can't be depended on for anything. Noted jerk Derrick Rose finishing with 25 points on the night, even when Julius Randle only went 7 of 19 from the floor for 14 points. But Pandemic P, you can certainly count on him to not come up for you. 8 of 20 from the floor, only 18 points overall. They got everything they possibly could out of Kawhi Leonard, but he just wasn't able to beat the New York Knicks, unfortunately. So they'll probably hang on to the fourth seed for a little while longer, at least. We can only hope that the Lakers and Phoenix Suns find a way to beat them in the upcoming games. But you know what? Like Jimmy Butler is fond of saying, like Eric Spoelstra is fond of saying, those two are perfectly made for each other, by the way. You know, you can't count on anybody else. You don't want to count on anybody else. You put yourself in this position by losing games earlier on throughout the season. Now you are where you are, where you're the sixth seed, the fifth seed, the fourth seed in the play-in tournament. It doesn't matter. And you find a way to persevere. You find a way to overcome all those things. And let's see. I mean, we can only hope that Miami continues to find a way to win. Yes, you want to avoid the big three in the Eastern Conference earlier on. You want to try to get a matchup against the Hawks or the Knicks. I think preferably the Knicks. I think Miami certainly matches up better for them. But one, there'll be a lot of storylines to kind of stay tuned and stay focused on. But as far as the Heat, they've got to continue to do what they can to find ways to win. Look, they've got games up against the Hawks later on this week. They've got another game against the Celtics on Tuesday. It should be a really fun close of the season down to the wire. This is what the play-in tournament's all about. Something I think I talked about in last week's episode after LeBron started crying about the play-in tournament, and only when he's at and you know kind of flirting with the seventh seed there in the Western Conference, then that's when he realizes maybe I don't like the play-in tournament and somebody should get fired. Of course, several reports that came up after that indicating that the person who actually suggested the play-in tournament is not in any kind of danger whatsoever and not likely to get fired anytime soon. But it's creating drama. Like, this is fun. Like, yes, normally you have a lot of excitement building up towards the playoffs, but this is every team, lots of teams still in the hunt, still playing for something, still looking at seeding. The Washington Wizards, not only are they getting historically good performances from Russell Westbrook, but they're also continuing to stay in the playoff race. Unfortunately for them, they're going to be without Bradley Beal. He suffered a hamstring injury, and he's not going to be available in their upcoming matchup against the Atlanta Hawks. I believe that is Monday night. So, unfortunately, Beal will not be available for the Wizards against the Hawks, making Miami's job a little bit tougher, but it doesn't really matter, like I said before. This first question comes in from Julian. He writes, Why were the Heat matching Boston's fast tempo throughout the whole second half? I feel like a slower half-court set game would benefit Miami and help them close better. To your second point, absolutely. They thrive in the half-court offense. Yes, they also can exhibit strength in transition offense. They've shown promise there of late, especially I think with Ariza, he certainly helps as far as having another long body that can finish at the rim or can attack the basket. Tyler's been somewhat improved. We saw several plays from him earlier in the season where he was struggling in that regard. I think Duncan can help with that. There was a moment there where Evan Fournier was the last player back as Duncan was, I think they had forced his turnover. Duncan gets the ball. He's bringing it up court. And Fournier makes the play that he thinks makes a lot of sense, which is protecting the rim, right? He's standing in between the rim and Duncan Robinson. Duncan just says, okay, you go ahead and stay there. Never Google. I'm going to just flare out to the three-point line and knock down a three-point shot, and he certainly did. So Miami's transition offense, a little different perhaps than others. But as far as Julian's overall point, yes, again, that they would thrive in a half-court set, but also it wasn't their choice. They were missing a lot of shots in the second half that they weren't missing in the first half, and that led to some transition buckets for Boston. And that's just – that's why they were able to control the tempo, because they were hitting shots with guys like Fournier and Tatum in particular heating up, and they were keeping Miami on their heels. So it wasn't anything that Miami was able to control. I mean, with the exception of, yes, hit your shots, maybe you'll have a better chance at winning the game. Sure. But, you know, as far as controlling the tempo, it's not like they were not able to dictate the terms of it, because they were missing their shots. Their offense kind of fell off a cliff a little bit in the second half, certainly from where they were, you know, their incredible hot shooting in the first half. They just weren't able to sustain that level of production in the third quarter in particular. So when they started missing some of their shots and then Boston caught fire later on, they started controlling the pace and finding ways to get back. And look, there is momentum shifts in the course of a game. I think we've seen that enough over the course of watching NBA history that you can see a momentum shift where all of a sudden a play starts to swing in your favor. And I know it's been somewhat debunked, the idea of the hot hand and things of that sort, but I think there are certainly momentum shifts where all of a sudden Miami's defense kind of loses their footing a little bit. They're not rotating as quickly. They're not quite sure exactly who to switch on to, or maybe they're not making the right reads defensively. And then all of a sudden, all it takes is a hot shooting finish from Evan Fournier to kind of throw you completely off, and not, you know, you don't have a chance of recovering right away until you have a superstar like Jimmy that can kind of dictate things for you. And look, Jimmy wound up playing 40 minutes in the night. I did not mention that earlier on, but that is not ideal. Eric Spoelstra talked about that. He said, yeah, you know, you kind of just have to do what you have to do to get him out there. Jimmy's a gamer. He's going to prepare himself, et cetera. Things along those lines. Like, you kind of started to see how important he was, especially in that second half when Boston started creeping up and started clawing away at Miami's 26-point lead, when you were realizing that you were going to have to rely on Jimmy a little bit more than you might normally do so. And he wound up playing a lot of minutes, but in those few minutes when he wasn't on the floor, Miami fell apart. And that's unfortunate, because you want to be able to give him more and more rest. We'll see how both teams find a way to bounce back on Tuesday. Like, for Miami, I think it's going to be important for them to read the film, see a little bit. I expect the kind of players that did not have big games today, that they'll flip the script a little bit and wind up having big performances on Tuesday. I would expect a big night from Goran Dragic, maybe Kendrick being a little bit more aggressive early on. He looked like he was comfortable, again, efficient with his shooting, but not necessarily as aggressive as he normally might be. So I would expect them to kind of have a bigger game and maybe a flip of, you know, the superstar level production. Instead of having Jimmy produce as much or have him be out on the floor as much as he was, have Bam be a little bit more productive. Not to knock his level of production on Sunday night, but you kind of want him to be able to take over games also and give Jimmy a rest, because he's going to need it for the playoffs. This last question comes in from Yuli. He writes in, Tyler wasn't feeling it that much in the second half, but still quite a solid game. Do you see him going up one level in the playoffs? I have talked about this before, and I think that my feeling is Tyler is going to continue to improve and have big games here and there, but I think, unfortunately, we saw the best and worst of Tyler tonight, where he just isn't getting that kind of playing time because of his defensive issues. And I don't know that those are going to correct themselves anytime soon. He's going to give up points, and you hope that he's at least scoring enough to offset his defensive liabilities, because they're there. They're not going away, and he's not going to improve. He had some nice plays defensively. I can't recall now. I want to say it was Kemba Walker. It may have been Marcus Smart, where Tyler was able to – no, it wasn't Smart. Smart seemed to have a knack for wanting to attack Tyler and find a way to exploit that matchup. But maybe it was somebody else. I can't recall exactly who it was. But he actually even wound up forcing a turnover. The point is that with Tyler, you're not quite sure what you're getting from him defensively. More often than not, he's going to be a little bit more porous than your average NBA player. And if that's the case, he's going to struggle out there. Offensively, you hope that he's trending in the right direction over the last couple of games. You've seen positive things here. Yes, he had a great first half, tapered away in the second half when he wasn't playing as much. I saw some comments on Twitter about, you know, this is the reason why Eric Spoelstra has to find a way to get him out there and let him kind of play through these deficiencies. I don't know that you necessarily want to do that on a night when he's just giving up so many points. Like, he was being targeted often and with success every time. And so if that's the case, you're going to have to find a way to get a different balance out there. I don't know. I don't have the answers right away. I'll have to rewatch the game a little bit and see if maybe something stands out in particular. But as far as his offense, yes, there's another level. I think a more consistent one. Like, we want to see a full game from Tyler. You want to see him be able to kind of match that second half, that first half production in the second half, and have it be consistent over a stretch of 5 to 10 games. Right now, it's a 2-game bounce back. He struggled before his injury, and I think now that we're seeing him improve somewhat, we're kind of jumping the gun. I'd like to say that he's ready, he's back, and everything else, but I'm not quite there just yet. Maybe I was on Saturday. After watching the Minnesota game on Friday, I'll be honest with you, his performance was so phenomenal that I fell into the same trap as many of you probably do, where I saw his shooting and said, yeah, you know what, this is it. This is Tyler. This is what we wanted from him all season long. And then you see him start off the first half that way. You're going, hot damn, this is Tyler again. He's back. This is the Tyler we saw as a rookie. And then he kind of falls off the cliff in the second half, and you go, oh, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I jumped the gun a little bit. And I think that's where we are with Tyler right now. We kind of live and die with each one of his shots, just like everybody at the American Airlines Arena does. So interesting to see what kind of game he has on Tuesday night. But they're going to count on him. They're going to rely on him. And so hopefully he'll find a way to step up, not just in the regular season, but also in the playoffs. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting the show, and thanks to all of you. Happy Mother's Day once again. This is David Romil signing off.